ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
For decades, we've turned to well-read textbooks to help us understand how our economy will behave. But right now, something strange is happening. And for some economists, it's a bit of a miracle. Because even though when interest rates rise, lots of people usually lose their jobs, this time the unemployment rate remains relatively low. Today, business editor Ian Verrender on the current economic weirdness. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Ian, I understand that economists feel like a miracle has occurred and they've given it a name. Tell me what it is.
Well, immaculate disinflation. Wow. It's a mouthful, I know, but there you go.
Only an economist would come up with a miracle name like that, I suppose.
Well, I guess so, because, it doesn't make a lot of sense to a lot of people, but it refers to something that is really quite important, and it's kind of tipped, economic theory on its head and everything that you would have learnt in the textbooks. It's almost been thrown on the scrap heap. Because what's meant to be happening right now in the economy just isn't. Because, we've seen a really brutal round of interest rate hikes, probably one of the steepest on records. And yet, while that's had the effect that everybody's expected, it's really slowed down economic growth. And in fact, to the point where some major economies are in recession. But there's one area that is just defying all the conventional wisdom, and that is that people are holding onto their jobs.
Any hopes of a cut to interest rates in May went up in smoke today after a dramatic fall in the jobless rate.
The gains were driven by 78,200 full-time positions and 38,300 part-time roles.
Just remind me why it is that there's this belief that people have to lose their jobs for inflation to actually come down.
Yeah, well, look, if prices get out of hand, the medicine that's been increasingly prescribed since the 70s has been to jack up interest rates, slow the economy, and that puts people out of a job. But, if there are enough unemployed workers and there's more competition for jobs and so less wages pressure, and that means firms will be less driven to put up the price of their goods and services. Mm-hmm. And this all came about as a result of the work from a Kiwi economist by the name of Bill Phillips. And it's quite a famous and well-taught thing in universities. It's called the Phillips curve. Mm-hmm. And he came up with this in about 1958. And the idea is that there's this trade-off, this natural trade-off between unemployment and prices. So the idea that is that unemployment will actually act to keep prices in check. When the Reserve Bank was formed in the post-war era, the idea of full employment was actually zero unemployment, 0% mm-hmm. unemployment. So the Reserve Bank at that stage was trying to keep pretty much everybody who could possibly work in a job. But that evolved and changed with this idea that there's a rate of unemployment that can keep inflation in check. And so it eventually grew to the idea that you needed about 5% of the workforce unemployed. And this rate, it's called this natural rate, it's called the non-accelerating inflation rate of unemployment, or the NIRU. So it's this elusive level of despairing workers, if you like, that will keep prices in check.
Okay, and it's not, Ian, just in Australia that we're in uncharted waters around this. It's happening around the world, right, including in the United States.
Yeah, absolutely. Around about the time of the pandemic, we saw unemployment really starting to drop off. And if you recall, too, in the lead up to the pandemic, we had inflation actually way below what the Reserve Bank wanted. They were desperately trying to get inflation, ticking along to keep the economy ticking along.
The Reserve Bank governor has warned the economy may need drastic help if low interest rates and governments fail
to jumpstart the sluggish economy.
Unemployment sort of tipped down into these lower levels and it didn't have any inflationary impact. The Reserve Bank lowered its unemployment target to around 4.5%, and it even went even lower. Especially when we saw post-pandemic, we saw unemployment drop into the threes. Mm. And so, you know, you've had politicians and exasperated central bankers giving up now, trying to guess what this natural rate is. And, you know, just last week we saw our own unemployment level drop way down from about, what was it? It was 4.1, 4.2 down to 3.7.
Yeah, right. And Michelle Bullock, the head of the Reserve Bank, really gave a warning about the tightness in our jobs market.
Our judgment at the moment is the labour market still is slightly on the tight side, and that's on the basis that the unemployment rate is still much lower than it was pre-pandemic. It's risen from its trough, but it was far too tight then.
So what does she mean there, that too many people have jobs?
That's precisely what she means, yeah. Tightness in the market indicates that she thinks that there's, you know, there's not enough slack in the workforce. So, you know, if you've got a tight market, demand and supply are fairly evenly balanced. And, you know, her thinking, which is traditional central bank thinking, not just the Reserve Bank of Australia, but right around the world, the thinking is that if you've got fairly evenly balanced supply and demand for workers, workers get the upper hand, they can demand more in wages, and then firms start to push through price rises to make up for the higher wages.
Okay. So is it possible then, Ian, that we can defy the textbooks and we can ride out this period of high inflation without driving up unemployment?
Look, the Reserve Bank is clearly concerned that unemployment is probably still too low, because it's an indicator to them, at least, that on traditional thinking, that we haven't put enough people out of work to keep inflation in check.
So if you'll also see our forecast, you'll see employment continues to grow, but it just doesn't grow quite as fast as the supply of labour. So that's mechanically why the unemployment rate rises. I think that we're focusing on that, and if we can achieve that with a slight rise in the unemployment rate while continuing to keep employment growing, I think we'll have achieved our goals.
And this is you know, something that is not just confined to the Reserve Bank of Australia. It's conventional wisdom amongst a lot of economists and here and around the world. And, I mean, you know, a few days after the last meeting, when Michelle Bullock had indicated that we might actually be opening the door to some rate cuts, here we have the unemployment rate dropping from 4.1 to 3.7%. Now, it's unclear whether we've reached this nirvana that is suddenly appeared, where unemployment and inflation can subside together, or there might be another round of price rises lurking. That's what we're unsure of. And so there is a bit of thinking amongst more traditional economists, I guess, that this strong labour market, this very low unemployment level is too low, and we need to get more people out of a job.
And Ian, when we talk about unemployment, we talk in percentages, but that's people, right?
Yeah, it is.
We're talking about people's jobs here.
That's right. We are. We're talking about real people's jobs. I mean, look, if you look at the statistics, we've actually created a lot of new jobs in the last few years. The unfortunate thing, I guess, is that now we're starting to see a huge population increase, and you would have expected at this point that the number of new jobs that we're creating isn't enough to account for the increase in the number of people who are living in the country. But the last set of data we saw indicated that we're doing quite well when it comes to job creation. A lot of full-time jobs and a lot of part-time jobs as well.
And the latest data on inflation shows that it remains steady at 3.4%. So what does that all mean the Reserve Bank will do next, do you think?
Well, obviously, as you get lower down the inflation track, and the numbers you just referred to, they're the monthly numbers. Our quarterly inflation was 4.1%, and that's the number that the Reserve Bank really likes to focus on. That was for the December quarter. In the December month, it was 3.4%. In January, the month of January, it was 3.4. And now again in the February month, it was 3.4. So we're clearly going to get a drop in the inflation, the quarterly inflation for the March quarter, well below 4.1. So it is coming down. It, obviously, as you get lower, it gets harder and harder to get back into that that band, that 2-3% band. But we're clearly within striking range of getting into that band in the very near future. The Reserve Bank, in the early part of this year, after the February meeting, essentially gave a warning that interest rates could rise again. Now, a couple of weeks ago, after the second meeting of the year, that suddenly changed to, well, we can't rule anything out, which meant you're opening the door to rate cuts. And now suddenly, 2 days after that, you get an unemployment rate that drops way below what anybody anticipated or expected. And look, there is some other thinking out there that's just arisen in the last week or two, really, that central banks may be reevaluating everything that they thought they knew and that they've learned, which is that they're now prepared. This is in America, this is in Europe, it's Japan, it's everywhere. They may have learned that you can actually cut interest rates and maintain inflation for a little bit longer than you possibly would have in the past to try and keep people in jobs. So, it's a constantly evolving bit of, if you want to say, social science. And, what you have to realise is that we are dealing with people, and people are not rational beings.
Yes.
Most economic theory is based on the idea that we all act sensibly. When you put a whole lot of individuals together in billions of people, you've got a lot of people who can act irrationally.
Yes.
And I guess, the world of economics is trying to grapple with that in a framework, an academic framework. And I guess some of our central bankers are out there now trying to adapt to perhaps a change in the way we're all behaving.
Yes, buying those expensive shoes the other day probably was an irrational decision by me. I'm sure of it. I do get worried though, Ian, when economists get confused about the economy. But anyway, because they really are the smart people in the room. But tell me, if our general understanding of economics is sort of broken and the textbooks aren't really working anymore, is this concept of a miracle, immaculate disinflation, is that here now, is it?
There's certainly a lot of people talking about it, from America through Europe into Australia. But the question is, well, is this a permanent change, or is it something that's just temporary? And so the thinking is, well, okay, firms have kept jobs on and kept people in jobs, but can they do it forever if they start to really feel the heat themselves? I mean, if you're a business owner and your earnings, your profits start to drop away, you're going to look at laying people off. The other way to look at this, though, is that a lot of advanced economies, and particularly an economy like Australia, is very much a service economy these days. We don't manufacture a lot of goods. And service economies require people to deliver services. So maybe that's one of the changes that has occurred as manufacturing has shifted to countries like China and so forth, where you can mechanise and put people out of work because machines will do the job.
Mm. Well, let's hope the miracle continues, Ian.
I hope so.
Thanks for your time. Thanks, Ian.
Thanks, Sam.
Ian Verinder is the ABC's business editor. This episode was produced by Bridget Fitzgerald and Nell Whitehead. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. Thanks for listening.